So we started a series last week because you asked, and the first question we answered was, why does God allow, or not, was it, why does God allow bad things to happen, or why do bad things happen? I think it was just, why do bad things happen? And so tonight we're going to talk about why are there so many Christians who don't act like Christians, who don't live like Christians, who don't aren't like Christians. And there's a word for that. You can probably guess by what I have on the screen what that word is. I gotta figure out what I'm talking. And I shouldn't fiddle with it, I should just leave it be.
Yeah, but it's a habit. It's what happens when you have too much technology.
Hypocrite. You've heard of the word hypocrite, right? That's another word for, I worded it nicely, why are there so many Christians who don't act like Christians? That's a good way to say, why are there hypocrites? You know, armed with a hidden camera, Dateline NBC program depicted what goes on behind the scenes at some used car lots and incredible things that go on. A couple of the salesmen had no problems intentionally lying to customers. They went out of their way to cover up any mechanical problems in the cars. The used car business has a knock in it because of that. It's hard to know if you're being told everything about the car you're about to buy. And when I was watching this show, I couldn't help but wonder if they uncovered, or what would they uncover if they installed hidden cameras in the church. You see the Christians come to church and they act one way, and they see them go home and they act a different way. And a popular TV show would have a heyday with that. So what would the secret tape look like? A shot of some film with churchgoers who are just in their car alone. What are they listening to? Are they swearing at the drivers? Are they, what are they doing? What would they find if they came to your job and saw how you interact with your coworkers and your boss? And again, what would they find if they came to your home? What are you watching on TV? How do you treat your family? What's hanging on your walls? You know, just typical things. I think it would be quite a story. Killer Media, I don't know why they haven't picked up on that one yet, but I think they could have a heyday with that. So pretenders in the pews, you know, believe it or not. And it's when so many of its followers lead contradictory lives. So a Christian may come to them and they may share Christ to them, but then they watch how they live their life and they go, that they don't match up, they don't add up. And who told the pastor that he doesn't go to church because there's so many hypocrites in the church. And the pastor responded, well, don't let that stop you. There's always room for one more. Because by making the statement, he's a hypocrite, right? So there's always room for one more, right? You know, we grow tired of people saying one thing and living something else. That's completely opposite. According to the dictionary, the word hypocrite is a person who pretends to have beliefs or practices which he or she does not actually possess. So it's not necessarily, you know, and I like how it's worded. You would think it would say a person who pretends to have or live out, but it says possess, which he doesn't actually possess. So if we in public, but we go home and we don't act like Christ, do we truly have Christ? Not saved. I'm not questioning your salvation. It's also used in the Bible. The term comes from an ancient Greek theater, where one actor would hold up a mask with a smiley face on it, and then when a tragic part comes, he would hold up a mask with a scary or a sad face on it. You know, any of the characters that he was praying. But the word literally means one who hides behind a mask. So the Greek word hypocrite means one who hides behind a mask. Hence the picture of the masks on the screen. You know, one day when they had guests over for dinner, a mother asked her son, her four-year-old boy Johnny, to say the blessed meal. And Johnny didn't really want to, and he complained about it. And the mother sweetly replied in front of her guests and said, just say what you hear me. And he mumbled, oh, Lord, why did I invite these people over on such a hot day? Out trailing around, and you say, just do what I do. Just say what I say. They'll tell you, right? They're not shy. And I just messed my screen up again. They're not shy. Unbelievable. I have to figure out what setting that is. It takes my screen and makes it a half size.
You better get rid of that one and get a different one.
It's just fine, most of the time. Program, and then it won't do that. So yeah, four-year-olds, kids, they'll tell you what they're thinking, they'll tell you what they hear at home, they'll tell you what's going on. I think that's great. Open and honest. I tell people I love transparent people. I love people who tell me exactly what they're thinking. You know, you always ask people how you're doing today, and I'm fine. It's just that statement, we just keep on walking. We don't stop to really find out how they're doing, so we've learned. You know, so when I ask somebody how they're doing, I try to make a point to stop and wait for them to tell me, give them the opportunity. So tonight I want to talk about just a few reasons why people are hypocrites. I'll be blunt. Why are there hypocrites in the church? It's because all church people aren't Christians, right? So it goes into a church doesn't mean they're a Christian. So going to church doesn't automatically change your life, into your heart. And it's sanctification. It takes time for your behavior to change. So a lot of people go to church because they feel they have to, because it's a habit, because it's a ritual. Many are seeking for truth. Maybe they're not finding truth, but they're seeking for it. They just want to go because their friends are there, and it's a good place to network with people. So if your heart is not in the right place, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. And to think about it, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a car. You don't turn into a car when you walk into a garage, right? Never be possible. We have to live with the possibility in church, and sometimes it's just a case of mistaken identity. And so we're expecting behavior out of them they're not ready to exhibit yet. Some people are no more Christians than I'm Hispanic. I like Mexican food. That doesn't make me Mexican or Hispanic, right? Some people just look like they're Christian because they get up on Sunday or Saturday night in some cases, and they go to a place called church. So that's Christianity. You're not expected to act like a Christian if you're not one yet. You're all too quiet tonight. As you seek and ask questions, don't get caught up in what your life to Christ. He'll begin changing you from the inside out. That's when you see fruit. That's when things start to change. You don't have to manufacture Christian behavior to act like a Christian on your own. God will give you the desire and the power to change your heart after you receive Christ into your life. Some people in the church, like I said, are not really Christians in the first place. And that leads to another question. And that leads to why does it appear that those that are Christians act like hypocrites? And I think it results from some confusion about it. In fact, as we better understand what it means to be a Christian, we'll have a lot better understanding what a true Christian really is. So I want you to evaluate yourself on these are forgiven sinners. That's pretty explanatory. The three traits that I'm going to give you are past, present, and future. This is obviously present. Right? I think there's a t-shirt that says that. I would imagine. Sounds like a good t-shirt. Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Does that mean we should go around and living a life? I didn't put the bumper sticker up there. Never mind, there's the bumper sticker. Where's the bumper sticker? There it is. Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. I have my slides backwards. That doesn't mean that we should go around and live our lives not like Christians on purpose and say I'm a Christian, but we choose to live our lives a different way. And I'm going to explain why that's so important in a minute. So I'm not giving you permission to go live in sin. Just trying to explain a little bit of what a hypocrite is. You know, the Bible never says that Christ... It does say that those who surrender their lives to Him will be perfectly forgiven. A sinner and being a hypocrite. So here's what I want you to get. You know, there's this unspoken assumption that a Christian is someone who doesn't sin. From the truth, in reality, it's the opposite. And 1 John 1:8 puts it, tells us very clearly, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So a hypocrite, and claims to be free from faults. A Christian, on the other hand, puts the mask and says, "I have no faults. I don't sin. I live great." A Christian, on the other hand, freely admits that I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I'm forgiven. The next verse, John 1:9, confess our sins. He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So a forgiven sinner consistently seeks cleansing from sin. We should always consistently seek cleansing from sin. When we recognize that we sin, we need to get on our knees and we need to confess that sin to God and repent of that sin. To look at the church, one thing, to label the church as full of hypocrites is another thing. The church is not a hall for You know, a couple of years ago, I read an article about a pastor who met the... And he used to attend the church that Paul Harvey went to, the town that he was visiting. And one Sunday, as soon as the service was over, the pastor ran over and he introduced himself to Paul Harvey, and he was pretty excited to meet him because he was famous. And the pastor held out his hand and he said, "My name is Brian. I'm a pastor." And Paul Harvey said, "It's nice to meet you." He said, "I was hoping he was going to say good day, but he did every day." And very perceptively, he responded by saying, "Thank you." He turned and he left with his wife. And then the pastor quoting, "I felt Harvey and he knew it. I didn't listen to his show every day. Maybe once a week, but not every day. My encounter left me feeling empty and ashamed. The next day I sat down and I wrote him a letter. I still have a copy of what I wrote, so let me read part of it to you. Dear Mr. Harvey, it was a delight to meet you yesterday after church. In my excitement, I realized after we talked that I lied to you. I mentioned that I listened to your program every day, and that's not true. I feel the need to ask you to forgive me. I was wrong. I was trying to make you believe or think something of me that was not true. Please accept my apology." Hypocrite. Yes, right. He was wearing a mask when he lied to Paul Harvey, but then he moved up from it. Then you move up the ladder to being a sinner when he confessed. Does that make sense? In fact, seeking his forgiveness helped deter him from being a hypocrite. I want you to leave here tonight knowing the hypocrite on the ladder is here. You're better off being a sinner than you are being a hypocrite, and I'll explain why in a moment. If he didn't own up for his sin before God and before, he would have been a cover-up artist. He would have been wearing a mask or a mask wearer and the sure forgiveness. So it's not about being good. It's about being forgiven. We all sin and we all mess up in our lives. One of the greatest Christians who ever lived is spiritually invincible? Of course not. He knew who he was. He writes about it in 1 Timothy 1:15. Here he says, "Here sinners, of whom I am the worst." So the guy who writes of sinners, that's not a hypocrite, is it? But he's a sinner. So notice that he doesn't say he was a sinner, and says that he still is a sinner. So since Christians aren't perfect, then it follows that churches are not full of perfect people, believe it or not. I know that's going to just ruin some of you went tonight to know that churches aren't full of perfect people. You can leave, Jim. But that's one of the things I like about our church here, is that most of us are authentic. I'm a sinner. I know that you all are sinners. You know that you're all sinners. And we're a church. Only the organization around where a public admission of sinfulness is admit that you're a sinner, right? Because if you said the sinner's prayer to accept Christ, you've publicly admitted that you're a sinner. You moved up from being a hypocrite to a sinner. And if you have the courage to admit that you're one of us, then you're welcome. If you don't have the courage to admit that you're a sinner, you're still welcome. But we'd like you to admit that you're a sinner. So that's number one. Christians are forgiven sinners. Number two is real Christians are not what they used to be. Some of you may look at a Christian and wonder why they behave as never should lose their temper. Or a genuine Christian shouldn't struggle with alcohol. Or a true Christian shouldn't swear, right? And you might even think to yourself, if that's the best God can do, forget it. I expect more out of Christians. I play this game. So instead of focusing on how far people fall short, why not look at how far they've come? For instance, even though I have a long way to go in several areas of my life, I'm a totally different person than I was 20-some years ago before I became a Christian. I used to have terrible habits. I had a foul mouth. You wouldn't want to hear it. Every other word out of my mouth was that nasty four-letter word. But I don't swear. I don't cuss like I used to. You could question my Christianity because I lose my temper now and then, but I don't lose it like I used to. Or if you knew me before, you might say, boy, I've seen a lot of changes in his life. None of you knew me before I was a Christian, so you don't know that. You see me as a pastor, but those of the people in my life that know my past where you became a Christian. It's like they always tell Jim, you know, an Italian in Chicago with a temper, he would not have been a good person to be around. People that know Christians that you think, man, I wouldn't want to spend time around a person like that before God got a hold of him. God's working on us. And even though we have a long way to go, we're not where we used to be. And that's what's important. Are we making progress? Are we different today than we were yesterday? Are you a different person this afternoon than when you woke up this morning? Are you going to be different tomorrow than you are today? Second creation, or I'm reciting another version. The new creates to Christ, we become somebody new. We're no longer the old person that we future. Real Christians are become future. There's more to the story, as Paul Harvey said. Let me give you the rest of the story in eternity. So even though we're in process in this life, and tomorrow our habits will change and life changes, eventually one day we will be that day. And unfortunately that's not going to happen in this life. But in death it'll happen, mind, and we spend eternity with Christ. But in the meantime, until then, God through the Holy Spirit, cleaning and scrubbing, and some of us have some pretty dark, dirty spots that need some Mr. Clean and Clorox bleach and things to clean up in our hearts. And so when it, just like the story I read about the pastor who lied to Paul Harvey, the Holy Spirit prompted him to fix it, to make it right. The Holy Spirit gives us courage and humility to ask for forgiveness. We can't do it on our own. We can't do none of this by our own will, by our own strength. So we become more and more like Christ. The more time you spend in the Word, the more look at it as a mirror. You start to reflect the Word. You start to look like what the Word says. So spend time in the Word. So he develops the character of Christ as authentic Christ followers. We experience forgiveness of sin because of that. And every day as we surrender our lives to Him. Philippians 1:6 tells us that being confident of this, that He until the day of Christ Jesus. That's why being a Christian gives me hope, because God's not finished with us yet. Until Christ returns, He'll continue working on us. We're all in process. We're not, so we're getting closer and closer and closer to becoming what we will become. Noah's right. And how we're currently living. So some of us know what's right, but we're living to present an image of ourselves. Put that mask on again. That's better than we really are. We want people to think that we're better than we truly are. Right? If we live that way. As a Christian, however, I have some inside information for you that'll keep you from being discouraged. Act in how you are. And God is narrowing that gap. He's narrowing the gap every day. When you say you're a Christian and you mess up, God is narrowing the gap every day between your mess ups. And you're becoming more and more like Christ every day. He's making you what you should be and to what you are. To between how I should be living and how I am living. Is narrowing the gap between how I should be living and how I am living. So with the Holy Spirit in us, we don't need to wear masks. We don't need to come to church and say we're one way. So we can take our masks off. So if you have a mask on tonight, I give you permission. You know, there's hope for hypocrites, by the way. Not that we have hypocrites here, but I'm just going to tell you, if you're a hypocrite, I'm going to tell you how to get out of that habit. John Scott said, cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It's a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also addictive. And even though Jesus reserved his we seem to prefer that lifestyle to truth and authenticity. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Church, and we all get to pretend and accept that we're all pretending to be who we're at work. And then it becomes addictive. Well, if he can pretend that he's this way, then I can pretend. He denounces the sin of hypocrisy. And as we read, and so if you're bothered by spiritual counterfeits, you have some good company, because Jesus lashed out on mask wearers about 20 times in the Gospels. I'm not going to read 20 scriptures, but I'm going to read about 5 for you. In Matthew 6, he says, so when you give to the poor by others. And then later he says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fast. We all pray, right? We all give to the needy. It doesn't say you can't let people know you're giving. It doesn't say you can't let people know you're fasting, but what is your motive? If the only motive I have in praying is so everybody knows that I'm praying, and the only motive that I have, and we don't have that connection with God and why we're giving, then we're the hypocrite. So that's what he's referring to. Then he goes on to say, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Wrong. Because then you moved from the hypocrite to a sinner. So you're moving in the right direction. But if you didn't do anything, then you left her thinking you're a hypocrite. So the best thing would be to say, yep, you're right, I'm wrong. You know, yep, exactly. For the hypocrites. Or you could call them religious pretenders. In just one speech in Matthew 23, he calls them hypocrites 7 times. He calls them guides 5 times. He calls them the serpent and brood of vipers, 1 hypocrites. There's a good chapter to read. We'll read some of it tonight, but not all of it. In Matthew 23, after describing the disease of deceit, Jesus also gives a couple cures for counterfeits. He gives a hope, as we have to learn to implement what's important. So in Matthew 23, you hypocrites. He uses that word very strongly with an exclamation point. Important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have drained out a gnat, but swallow a camel. So the word saying curse to you, you hypocrites, or your teachers of the law. Blessed be the meek, blessed be the humble, blessed be the... Now he's telling, cursed. These religious actors were obsessed with trivial things. They looked, we could say that they majored in the minors, or on the minors. The tithe on your spices. Even though the Pharisees sent in an inordinate amount of their cumin to the Lord or not. If you read chapter 23 earlier, 10% of my spices. Well, the Bible says we're supposed to give 10% of what without, you know, well, I need to count my spices and da, da, da. So they're so focused on the minor things that Jesus points out that they neglected what was more important, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. If you don't have justice, mercy, no, it doesn't matter. So it reminds me of Micah 6:8 where it says, he has shown you mercy, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act with your God. This is in the same book that it talks about tithing. He's talking about with your God. So, you know, you probably know some legalists in your life. They're very legalistic about things, and they're often go tilt or whatever they do. But They can be so blind to the gospel to try to pick apart and tell you this is wrong and you're living this. You didn't give 10% of your, you know, that's dangerous. And so I love the imagery Jesus uses to tell them how blind they are, wanting to avoid the impurity caused by drinking a camel. So he's telling them they're trying to avoid, so they would strain out this bug before they would die in order to be, because they drank a bug. That's why he's referring to that. So they didn't want to be accused of being called unclean, so they would strain a gnat out of their drink. But then, interestingly enough, I mean, right? But the Pharisees, they didn't want to take a chance in being unclean, which is the largest animal in Palestine at the time. About details, they'll pull the gnat out, but they'll take the largest unclean animal and they'll drink that large animal and gulp it down. Their attention to detail was so fine that they missed the being a hypocrite. You need to guard yourself against majoring on the minors. Don't look at all, but implement the important things that Scripture tells you to implement and live in life. Life, like we said earlier, love, mercy, and grace. Don't get caught up on the minute things that you miss the majestic things that God has for us. The second cure for hypocrisy is to intensify the internal. We'll keep reading in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 26. Woe to you, again, so cursed be you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees. I already read something else.
You did not read that.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Woe to you, so cursed you, teachers and laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites. I saw the first line, I'm like, that I just are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees. So here he's talking about externalizing religion. We dress, and it's so easy to focus on religious routines. I go to church, I put nice clothes on, I raise my hands, I sing songs, I put a tithe in, I go home. It's so easy cultivating a love relationship with Jesus instead of intensifying on the external. You know, it reminded me as when I read that scripture, coffee cup that had a nice soaring eagle on it, and I love eagles, and it was raised up, and it was like painted, and it was just gorgeous. It was the most beautiful cup. I think I broke it. I can't find it. And you know, I would drink out of it all week long, side off, but I would keep drinking on it. And then by the end of the week, I'm looking at the inside of my cup, and it's looking pretty nasty in there. But on the inside, they were full of greed, and they were full of self-indulgence. So my cup was beautiful. It had the eagle on the front side, you know, especially if you leave your coffee in it for a few days. And I would go, you rinse it out. I didn't notice a discoloration, you know. So anyway, you get the idea, right? But that's what happens to us when we focus on our outside, and we constantly are focusing for mold and a reservoir for spiritual bacteria. So if you want to be cured from living a counterfeit life, you have to intensify on the internal and start focusing on the inside. Who cares how you look on the outside? Inside. Keep your insides clean. Focus on the inside more than the outside. To make his point clear, Jesus uses one more image, and this one's the strongest that to you, teaches the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed full of bones and dead. Of the dead and everything unclean. People as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So when he said this, the Feast of Passover, and they would paint all the gravestones and the tombstones white. They would paint them all white. But that wasn't the only reason. It also had a deeper significance. The Pharisees knew ritual impurity as severely as a corpse. The Pharisees, you know, whoever touches a human corpse will be unclean for 7 days. So the Pharisees believed that one could be rendered religiously dirty and thus ostracized from the Passover celebration, even if their shadow would touch. You wouldn't see a shadow on them, so they could avoid the tomb and avoid the tombstone. So therefore, I can't participate according to Numbers 19:1 or 11. Worried about the outside. So that's, they painted the tombstones white so they could avoid them. So So Jesus continues by saying that these hypocrites are dead men's bones. And I'm sure that would greatly offend the Pharisees, the religious teachers. to be told that they're full of dead men's bones. And making sure that every T was crossed and every dot was I'd, that they would render themselves contaminated, rather themselves contaminated inside and miss the whole point to make sure they weren't contaminated on dirty on the inside, they were dead on the inside, according to Scripture. So he doesn't care about how you look on the outside. It's possible to look good on the outside. When viewed from an outward appearances, hypocrites usually look pretty good. He looks good. The problem is on the inside, where the wickedness and the evil crit. If you're in this room, do yourself from the tendency to focus only on the external. Are you ready to take off the mask and become authentic? Maybe for the first time in your whole life. Then it's important to intensify importance of looking and the internal, on what's inside. I find it interesting that while Jesus, because you can read in John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you're looking at the spiritual ladder, the hypocrite, one spiritual ladder than a sinner is, because we're all sinners. In fact, Jesus embraced up to their own moral failures. And so, we think we need to put on a mask at times and act religious in order to gain God's favor. God knows what's behind your mask. Maybe man doesn't, but God surely knows you're wearing a mask. Jesus says, take off your mask, be real, own up to your rebellion. Spiritual charades in your life, it's time to stop. You're not fooling anyone. They can see that you live one way and you act another way. You're ruining your testimony. You're ruining people's chances to become a Christian, because if you tell them about Christ and then you live another way, they don't want to be a Christian like that, so they turn away from Christianity. How many of us have heard that? I don't want to be a Christian because this so-and-so talks about being a Christian and he's always angry. Why would I ever want to be a Christian like that? Or so-and-so told me about Christ, but they're always so in such in a foul mood and they talk about all the rules you got to follow and talk about how strict it is and da-da-da-da. Who would ever want to be a Christian? You know, so we turn people away when we're being hypocrites. You know, I've talked, actually yesterday I led a guy to Christ in jail. I think he was about 30 years old. I spent about a half hour with him. He's from another state, came here, got in trouble, and now he's sitting in the clink. And as I started to share Christ with him, his first response was, I wrote off church and God a long time ago. I wrote it off because of the way Christians act. I don't want to be that way. You know, so it took me some time to explain to him who Jesus was and what Jesus could do for it. Caused him to turn off church and God. And we talked about what a hypocrite was. And so eventually, he did. He opened up his heart and he accepted Christ. But I thought there is one soul that could have been lost because of Christians, believe it or not. Souls aren't lost because of just Satan, like we talked about last week. They're not lost just because of other sinners. Souls can be lost because of the way Christians act. And so as Christians, it's time to come clean. It's time to walk the talk and to live what you say you believe, the way you live Christianity, and you see imperfect Christians. I encourage you to not make, which we all are, we're the unfinished product. Make your decision based on the person of Christ, because that's who we're looking to. I don't base my Christianity on how Jim lives his life and what Jim does for me and what Jim does for others, though he's a pretty awesome guy. I base my life on what Christ did and what Christ does. And what Christ, that's how we should base our lives. And again, as we witness to people and share Christ with people, we need to help point them to Christ, not to us. Don't follow me. You can follow me as I follow Christ, but look to Christ as your Savior. So we have to make sure that our decision is on the basis of the person of Christ, not on the person of the church. Because he can impact our present by forgiving you of your sins. No one else can do that. He can make changes in your life now so that you're not what you used to be. And he'll help you become what you will be in this life, steadily chipping away at the rough spots, changing you from the inside out. You know, I've heard people say that they'd be more interested in following Christ if there weren't so many hypocrites. I've said that already, but they don't seem to realize that if a hypocrite is standing between them and God, then the hypocrite is closer to God than they are. So that's not a good enough excuse. You know, are you trying to pretend that you have it all together when deep down inside you can't keep up, change anything on the outside, but to focus on the inside? It's not a matter of doing more things and trying to get more involved or trying to get more religious. That just perpetuates wearing of masks. If you want to change, and if you want to truly become someone you never have been before, the change has to take place on the inside, on the heart. And I know only one person that can change your insides. I can change your outsides. I can get some paint and paint you up pretty nice. But I know only one person that can change the inside, and his name is Jesus Christ. So all of us need to just stop it, that we're sinners. We need to implement the important things in life. Forget about the minute details. Again, there's a time and a place to understand those. We need to focus on what's important. We need to intensify on the internal things. See God's forgiveness. He'll set us free of wearing the mask that we're wearing. And he'll help us to become all that he's created us to be. Then we join the ranks from a hypocrite to the ranks of forgiven sinner. What a much better place to be. So if you don't have a way to deal with your sin in life, then there's a greater temptation to be a hypocrite if you don't know how to deal with sin. If you don't know that you're forgiven, you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to cover up your sin. So we know that Christ forgives us. He forgives our sins. So we don't have to cover it up. There's no need to cover it up. There's no need to be a hypocrite. He'll forgive us and he'll change us forever. And then when somebody follows you around with a video camera, they'll find someone who's even more newsworthy than a holy hypocrite, right? The camera will show someone who has the courage to take off his or her mask and be real. And that will be the rest of the story. You had something, Aaron? Yes. It's almost an unconfessing the sin. The sin's never forgiven. So the point down on your spiritual ladder, a sinner who confesses their sins is closer to God than a hypocrite is. You know, look on the Pharisees. Other comments, questions, or concerns? You know, the good news and the bad news is we're all going to make a mistake in our lives. That's the good and the bad news. Lie to somebody, we tell them we lied to them and ask for their forgiveness. If we steal something, we take and we confess it, you know. If we, whatever it is that you're struggling with, if you fall and you sin, the best thing to do is to admit that sin and go to take it to Christ so he can heal you and forgive you and bring you out of that. The worst thing to do is to try to cover it up and pretend there's nothing wrong. Aaron stood up here last week and told us about how he was a Christian years ago, but he spent years in drug use and drug abuse. He could easily have covered that up. Those of us who know him know he looks a lot different because the drugs beat him up. So we wouldn't have believed him anyway. But we can do that. We can live our lives and walk around and say everything's just fine. I don't have any problems. But then how can other believers pray for us if we don't admit to each other our faults? You know, the Bible tells us that we're to help bear each other's faults. And so unless we're willing to open up and take the mask off and let people see who we truly are, we're never going to get the help we need, not from God or from each other. That's gossip. Right. Yeah, amen.